This week on the stage right side, we have Cassandra Chinnery, aka Cassie. We're going to talk about the performance of Giselle that we did this week together. It was her last Giselle with American Ballet Theatre, so stick around on the stage right side with James Whiteside. I'm so excited. We're in the Gillian Murphy's dressing room because mine is occupied. That's what happens when you have dressing roommates and you have a podcast. You have to be respectful of their existence and not be like, get out, I have a podcast. So what I do is I break into my friend's dressing room
Yeah, and
to do the thing.
it's good vibes in here.
And we've reorganized all the furniture,
That's
so we'll have to
true.
remember how to put it
That's
back.
true. It's good. It's fine.
We're doing fine. So it is Monday, and it is the fourth week of the Met season. We have done the following: Swan Lake. We've done, what was second? Wolf
Wolfworks.
Works by Wayne McGregor. We did
Giselle.
Giselle by, those guys, Coralie Perreault, whatever. And now
We're doing The Winter's Tale by
we're doing the
Christopher
win. Yeah, I was like, what are we doing?
Wielden.
Cassie and I performed last week together. We did Giselle on Thursday evening, and it was Cassie's last Giselle with ABT because she is joining the Vienna State Opera this summer. She's heading up over there in August and starting with, guess what? Giselle. So, how you doing? How's your like? I
Oh
don't
my
know. I don't
God.
even know where
I
to
know. Where
begin.
do we start? I feel
So.
good. I mean, honestly, I'm still kind of coming down from our performance. It was one of those like shows where, I mean, you must have felt crazy 'cause you also danced. You should explain.
Yes, okay. So I had a unique opportunity, let's call it, to do two performances of Giselle back to back. So I did the Wednesday matinee here at the Met and then Thursday evening with Cassie. And Wednesday matinee, I danced with Gillian Murphy, who is retiring this season, later this season with Swan Lake. And I'm so excited I get to do that with her. But it was her last Giselle with the company slash ever, and her partner unfortunately was injured, and they needed somebody to do it, and I was a possibility, and so they were like, "Are you going to be able to do two back to back?" And I, of course, selfishly, I just want to be a part of these special moments with my friends. So yeah, I did two shows back to back, which is physically really, really difficult, if I'm being completely honest.
Also, like the pressure, I imagine too. Just like, I don't know, you're such a thoughtful partner that I imagine the pressure of wanting to just like do a good job for Jillian and me, but like
Yes.
whatever. Specifically Jillian, like what an
Both of
absolute
you.
honor to get
Both
to
of
do
you.
her very, very final shows.
Yeah.
But you're an incredible partner, and we neither one of us could let you go either, so
No, that makes me feel good. Thank you. Yeah, it was really special, honestly, and physically difficult, but emotionally very fulfilling. And it's Monday, so I've had Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to sort of recalibrate my body. I was beat up over
So
the
unwell.
weekend. Oh my
Oh my
God.
God. I feel like today's the first day that, and I can't even imagine how you feel because for me, I still feel like I'm in a way recovering. And I think for me, it's different because the repertoire that I do here, aside from Giselle, doesn't really require that kind of physicality for me. And I don't think my body was fully ready for what it was about to
It's a
experience
lot of
because
jumping around in Giselle
a
for
lot of
both
jumping
parties.
around, a lot of point work, a lot of like, turn out, do your thing properly.
Yeah.
There isn't a ton of space for kind of just relaxing out of things. And
Yeah.
so, yeah, just depleted.
So let's talk about the performance. So for me, I feel like it was a different experience just because it was my second day in a row doing it. And I felt very physically aware of my pain. So, I have severe tendonitis, obviously, in both knees, which led to the rupture of my patellar tendon on the left knee. But my right knee has really bad patellar tendonitis, and it was quite activated by the performance the previous day. So I spent much of my performance on Thursday being like, am I going to be okay?
I just had a thought.
Yeah.
So I also suffer from severe
We both have tiny
patellar
joints.
tendonitis.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, my knees have held up quite beautifully the last like year or so, and I've done a lot of work on them. Maybe my body was responding to your body.
And you caught it?
Because I had an oops major flare-up on stage that day, and I'm only just now processing, like, maybe my body was, like, giving you sympathy pains. Because I had, a little, what we call a zinger, which is where, essentially, your patellar tendon just, like, has, like, a little, what feels like a rip, or, like, somebody's just, like, stabbing you
it's
in
like
the kneecap.
It's like a micro tear, basically.
Right, exactly. And it happened. I was like, oh God, my knees are really killing me today. And it had been sort of building up over the week. And then in the show, I remember I started the like first waltz and I just smiled at you. And then I did this like tanda flush and then it was like, and I was like, ah! And so I also felt like I started just becoming very aware of my body. So we were just two very hyper aware girlies in our show.
But that being said, I was able to lose myself in the story. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's a huge priority for both of us.
You were giving a lot of like you were, how would you describe? Did you notice this about yourself?
No.
Or were you just being?
I was giving Smize Prince.
You were giving Smize Prince. You were giving like, I know what I got to give and I'm giving it. And it was really charming. And I was like, ooh, wow. And our friend Ross after the show, he was like, you were like giving it back. And I was like, I don't know why my response to you being that way is to just meet you there.
Yeah,
and
I
don't even know if that's
normal.
Entirely Giselle, but it got me thinking about how, depending on who's in front of you, it really does inform what you do with a character. And oftentimes I see a lot of folks, and myself included, like I'll have all these ideas about what I want to do, and then I get in front of somebody and they don't
match
give me what I, they don't match your freak. Yeah, so that was just really fun for me because we hadn't actually done the whole ballet until the show.
Yeah, that's how we do it. We have like rehearsals separately, but we don't have long, we don't have 2-hour rehearsals where we run the whole ballet.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious though for you, what was the biggest difference between like, I mean, Jillian and I have very different approaches, like of course, but as you and how your character is informed, did you feel like you found yourself changing things?
I have, and I feel like I've evolved so much in this ballet more than any other full-length classical ballet.
Yeah.
This was the first full-length I ever did, and I was 20.
In Boston?
I was 22 years old when I did my first one of these in Boston.
Wow.
And my priorities have like completely changed in this ballet.
Yeah.
And
what were they the first round?
Completely technical.
Yeah, completely technical. Okay.
Whereas as I age and discover what I like to see, it's all obviously technical, but I've just like learned about stagecraft and how to tell a story better.
Yeah.
And I also have learned, like, I might be the worst one ever, but I also have, to myself, improved a lot in the storytelling and the characterization. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but like the naturalness of these people has to exist within ballet. And it's really difficult for me, a like very modern and energetic person, to squeeze myself into the mold of this like quite stoic person who has to appear straight. So between the but like changing partners doesn't super affect, like I'm not like a more fun loving prince with one person over the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like me trying to adhere to my own work over the past literal 20 years or whatever.
Right. You're like, I'm code switching.
Yeah. It's code switching. It's just acting, you know?
Yeah.
And then specifically, physically, you and Jillian need very different things.
God, that must have been so difficult.
No,
like, I remember after we ran like an act one day, and then I went upstairs and I was like in the principal hallway watching you and Jill on the monitor. And I thought to myself, ugh, bless you, because you were doing the exact same pas-de-deux, but with Jill, and I could just see like the micro differences and like where she prefers to be put, and like I require a lot, I feel, and I think she requires quite little, is what my assessment would be, and not in a bad way or a good way, it's just different.
I think it's up to me to adapt.
Like, and he's really good at it. That's my point. He's like really, really good at partnering.
I think women are like, you know, like a region. So you like say...
Wait, did you say a region?
Yeah, like say I'm in Spain and or like say I'm in Italy
and I go
to a specific region and I have to be able to speak the dialect of that region. But then the next day I take a bus to another region and I have to speak that dialect.
You heard it here first. We're regions.
Women are a region.
Women are regions, as are men. And my God. Like you know, the desires that like different partners have, like totally. Yeah. It's a great way of putting it.
What I like also about the people I work with a lot of the time are they match my freak.
Yeah.
And I think when you get people who are willing to go somewhere with you and like be vulnerable in the way that it takes to experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to like blow smoke up our own asses too much, but it's really hard work and we've worked really hard at it and we might not be everyone's cup of tea, but I'm really proud of the growth that we've achieved in this work.
As have I. Yeah.
So, that being said, you're doing Giselle at the Vienna State Opera. It's your first thing there. What do you want to change in your own portrayal? It's essentially a different version, but with a lot of the same elements.
Yeah. No, that's such a good question. I don't know if I've thought about what I might want to do differently. I'm more just approaching... really just getting there and going there and all the work that I do with like a curiosity, because I imagine, I mean, listen, every time we like, what am I saying? Every time we return to these ballets, it's like a year has gone by.
Yeah.
And so I find that whatever I've experienced that year in my personal life just undoubtedly informs the work. And I find myself constantly like pulling from personal experience to, find like an emotional beat in every single moment. It's like, when was the last time I felt so utterly alone? Yeah. And I just kind of take a moment to like put that on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think really just like life will continue to shift the way I approach the work, like you said about the first time you did it when you were 22 and to now. And sort of like, I'm really interested in seeing, should we pause?
No, it's all good. It's New York City,
it's
baby.
New York babes. And kind of just like understanding what Alessandra is curious about in these classics. Like we got in the studio a couple of times together.
Alessandra Ferri, former ABT Prima, new director of Vienna State Opera.
Yeah. And I'm so excited to just spend a bit more time with her in the studio. We had maybe 1 hour that we worked on Giselle when she was visiting a few months back. And the first thing she said to me was she just really loves the natural quality of what I was bringing to it. She said, honestly, she said, the only way these ballets will survive is if we bring truth and authenticity to them. And like, stylistically, the way people have approached theater, that has shifted over the years. What moves audiences has shifted over the years. And I think now we're entering into a time where there are so many different ways to approach this. So just what feels the most authentic to you and how can you find your way in? And for me, that's like approaching it with a bit more of a, I guess, a pedestrian quality, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so the biggest thing she said to me was, we just, the best way to keep it ballet is to remember that it is a style and there's a romantic style involved. Mm-hmm. And how do we incorporate that but not remove the truth that you're finding in your approach? And for her, it was épaulement, which for those of you who don't know is the way we use our arms and our like necks. And it's the like weird sort of affectations that make ballet ballet, but is really pretty.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's angles. It's really just like how we hold ourselves on stage. And she said it's in the transitions. And so I'm just like excited to dig into that and just keep building upon what I already have to offer.
I find a lot of what you just said to make specific sense for something like Giselle, because you have the sort of filmic pedestrian quality of Act One, where you're just a girl telling a story, you're doing your thing, and then in Act Two it's so abstract, you're a literal ghost. You're a ghost. You come in and it's super stylized, like heavily iconic, for lack of a better word.
Was it choreographed by someone different? Was it like act one was choreographed by someone, act two was choreographed by someone?
I don't know. I know there are two. It's Jules Perrault and Oz Corrali.
Okay.
Something
and
Corrali.
Adolphe Adem did the score.
The music, yeah.
For both acts.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
I really, hot take, I really can't stand the act one music. The waltz is so grating to me. I know that's unpopular and because I love a lot of this music in this ballet.
Yeah.
But I can't with the waltz.
They leaned heavily on like themes.
They said,
and they were like, we're just going to keep doing it over and over and over and over and over again. Am I missing rehearsal? No, we're good.
So what was I going to say to you about act?
We hate act one.
We hate, no.
No, we don't.
I like elements of act one. Let's talk about the mad scene. So in Giselle, there's this scene called the mad scene in which upon discovering that the prince, Prince Albrecht or Count Albrecht, he's posing as a peasant to essentially get in Giselle's panties. And and he is discovered by this guy, this village person who has a crush on Giselle. He finds his, fancy sword and whatever, and tells Giselle, and Albrecht is like, yes, sorry, this is my fiance, blah, 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 who happens upon the village. I don't know where I was going with this.
Giselle finds out in front of
the mad
town.
Scene. Oh my God, my brain. So the mad scene is
a
really, really interesting archaic device, and I am so curious about how you feel about like your own ideas and portrayal of a woman on the verge of a nervous breakdown, having a heart attack, but also emotionally completely and utterly shook, for lack of a better word. It is such a thing from before, if that makes sense. Like, the mad scene as a plot device is so, I don't want to say misogynistic, but, like, relies heavily on the idea of histrionics.
Yeah. No, it's very true. And it's, like, a complicated scene to enter into for someone like me who, like, really cares about
woke
that.
Woke diva.
Woke diva, if you will. No, I think the best way in is to recognize that there is, like, a health condition involved. Mm-hmm. Like, what I do is I dig into, like, what are just the logistics here? Like, what can we do, to sort of, for myself as a performer, stray away from
she's just crazy. Yeah.
It's here's 5 minutes of crazy boots. Stop it.
It's tough out here.
And so I guess I could talk about this. We're not going to get into this too much because I could go on
tutu
and on.
Tutu.
I just, no.
I'm pointing to the tutus in the background. Those are the iconic Gillian Murphy's Black Swan and White Swan tutus.
Odette, you're welcome. No deal. So, and Giselle rehearsal toot here as well. Guys.
And her costume. It's there too.
Oh,
wow.
The energy, the vibes are immaculate in here. It's true.
And we're using a bottle of Vogue to stand up.
That was just her gift.
To stand the camera up. Okay, I'm so sorry.
It does not get more glamorous than this. No, it's good. So I can speak to just like my own process and try to keep it concise, but essentially I remind myself that this is somebody who has been on the verge since the beginning of the ballet, not the verge of a psychotic break, but the verge of intense heart failure, and someone who has to be careful and has been told she has to be careful her entire life and doesn't have any people around her really. So finding this connection is really just a way out of loneliness. And I think it is for him as well. Two people trapped in circumstances that they were like born into, and that's relatable. So kind of like starting from a place of I am ill, I am physically ill. That is not like playing into a trope that is like women are weak. It's just, this is someone who's physically unwell. So there's that. And then what I discovered in sort of my process round one, I went through watching many different versions, and I thought to myself, if I don't decide to have a psychotic break from the beginning of the scene, at what point is it that I do have a psychotic break? And for me, it was when I start to really collapse. Like my heart really is starting to give out. And that probably takes place after
the whole flower
happens. So like for me, the beginning of the scene is
processing
and trying to like convince myself and everybody around me that I'm not crazy. And also remembering that my friends who are in the village, like my friends, like who are separate from me, but for whatever reason, like we know each other well enough that I was like, look at this person. He was there and you all saw him, right?
Yeah.
Like, but we all know, I know what it feels like to have like gone on a journey with someone and then they like flip the script on me and I'm like, am I crazy?
Yeah.
Did I imagine all of that? Like he said he loved me. So it's really, yeah, processing, allowing myself to feel the rage, allowing myself to feel the shame, seeing that my mom is there, the royalties, everybody's there like witnessing this. And I've brought such intense shame. My mom's gonna lose her business. Like I start kind of going there, like spiraling, which I do naturally as a person. So that's not too difficult to pull from. I'm like, who's mad at me? Who's gonna get in trouble? What have I done? This is all my fault. Right? So leaning into that, and just like wanting to not be there anymore, wanting to make life easier for my mom. So that's how I think we're dealing with someone who does want to disappear. And so that snap decision to pull the sword is like, I gotta go. Like that's the easiest decision for everybody here.
And she's young too, right? She's whatever, like 16 or something in the
story.
Dealing
with a teenager. So I've been able to justify it for myself. I don't know how it reads or if it looks like everybody else's, but that's been the best way that I can find my way in a way that I believe in it and that I think will then be relatable for other people who are watching, like a more current audience.
We're all just doing our thing and not everyone is gonna like everything.
Yeah,
and all of that.
And that's
speaking
totally
of
fine.
The performance as a whole, like how do you feel, sorry, siren, New York City. I don't know why there need to be sirens on, like the direct, it's a one way and there's like not that much going on.
They gotta tell people that like,
to move
GTFO,
over.
Like move.
Okay.
Move.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I'm
no.
cool, I'm cool.
No, it's fine.
I'm cool.
It's gonna be great.
I'm like, it's so grating. New York is an assault. I want to make you comfortable by telling you things that I hate about myself. So, I want to talk about my performances this week and just in general. Like, there are a lot of things I'm really proud of, but as in any performance, it's not perfect. And I want to talk about how I get over such things. So, like, technically, I feel like I can always do better. Like, I'm always like, okay, I was fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was literally just fine.
Yeah.
But I have to also remember that I'm still a principal at ABT, which is not nothing. But specifically for me, like, things that I felt really uncomfortable with like, as I age and deal with physical imbalances are things that used to be more comfortable to me than they are now. Like simple pirouettes, basically. Like any type of pirouette I can't push off in the same way that I did before I had knee surgery. So I'm like still relearning how to turn. And so like, I don't know, there's like nothing catastrophic in my variations or anything, but I still know that I could do better. And I struggle with not harping on about such things, be like, well, that I biffed that, or like that was basic, or that was so that was a plebeian variation. Plebeian, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Wait, what is that word?
You know, like the common folk.
How dare you?
Yeah. So I don't know. I look back on the performances of this week and previous weeks, and I'm always proud, but I'm also like, wish I was better. Tell me about your experiences.
I mean, I think I am in a way fortunate because my perspective is now like just enjoy it because it's the last time you're going to get to do it for a minute, meaning here. And yeah. I think what has been a gift about making the decision to make moves is it's allowed me to like enter into every show with a lot more gratitude and kind of focusing on that. I mean, Giselle, every time I came off stage, I looked at you and I was like, that was weird, because it was like things were happening that were like within my control, but also like I was doing my best and things weren't maybe as strong, but I was also for whatever reason able to let it go.
Yeah.
But I also think it's because for a ballet like Giselle, because it is so character driven first, for me anyway. Same. And maybe that's, like you said, not everybody's cup of tea, which is fine. Maybe they're like, wow, she's so bad at dancing, but she was really happy out there. Like, okay, it's fine.
Is there a moment you feel specifically proud of in the performance?
It was the show, honestly, what was bizarre, we talked a little bit about this in the beginning, I was very aware of my knees. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, they hurt so bad. So I found my attention going to really paying attention to how I was physically doing everything.
Yeah.
And then trying to layer on top of it, well, Giselle just has bad knees today. Like, she's physically not well anyway, so let's just lean in.
Heart condition, bad knees. She's really not doing
she's
great.
A mess. And so I found myself a bit like, it was weird too, because I think what people should know too is that there was no tech rehearsal for us. We literally went out there and did the show for the first time in the show. Yeah. And so I found myself giving myself a lot of compassion in moments as well, like, and maybe that's just maturity, but I was also a little disappointed. Like, I found myself getting a bit frustrated in moments with like, God, I wish I had known what this is gonna feel like, that all the elements would have been set up for me.
For context, y'all, a tech rehearsal is essentially a dress rehearsal with lights and costumes and all of the elements, props, everything. So when we say we don't get a tech rehearsal, we mean our first time doing the performance with costumes, sets, lights, props, the other characters, literally the other characters, and the corps de ballet is the performance. So the first time I'm out there doing my variation and trying not to like bang into willies and everything, is with an audience full of people. And just let that sit for a moment, that's what we deal with on top of the outrageous expectations we have of ourselves and the high standards we are desperately clinging to.
I thought of what I was proud of though, as you were saying that, please. Which is like, I think I found myself with all of those said elements and sort of like things working against us in a way, instead of being more like energized and like lifted and like shaky and nervous by that, I just realized it actually forced me to be more present, to really look around me, and it grounded me in a way. And I think that is something I am proud of, because there were moments where instead of just running around to start my variation, I had to really look at where I was in the space and then make the choice to put myself somewhere.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're used to just doing something on autopilot and you're like very aware of this, or you're just used to the conditions, you then don't leave space to really pay attention to what's happening around you. And I found myself very aware and as a result quite grounded and really looking at the people around me and taking the time in places that I needed to take time, even if it meant musically I wasn't in the right place. The hops on point are always an issue for me. And there was a moment, I'm just like on my little biscuit, like bopping around, and not once have I gotten through them in a performance of Giselle. And there was a moment where I could have given up and I didn't, and it was a bit weird, and I somehow ended up in this position and I just kind of kept bopping. I just And it kept going. And I dug my heels in and I was like, it's fine. Push through the discomfort and just finish it for yourself. And I did. I don't think it was very pretty, but I was proud of myself for just like digging my heels in and doing it anyway.
Tenacity.
Things like that, gumption, where I was like,
moxie. Sorry.
No, it's great. I found myself in several moments throughout the ballet, just like, it was an opportunity for exploration and growth, and it wasn't a perfect performance, but I really did find like moments of living. And I loved Act Two. I loved our adagio, felt so lovely, and like everything we spoke about was like right there, and I could really just enjoy it. And you probably felt like a dumpster fire from your show before. But I felt so supported and beautiful. Good. And I really appreciated that. And I somehow had like energy. That was really cool too.
Yeah. I mean, that's the perk of dancing all day, every day, is like you really, you know, these ballets are strenuous to say the least. So you get really tired, but it's nice when we get into this flow in the Met season where you're just, you're tired. It's like, you're going to die, but you're going to live.
You're going to die, but you're going to live.
Yeah.
And it's also like your body gets to this place where you actually don't have to push so much. It's just kind of doing it for you.
Yeah.
And that's a really like exhausting place to sit in, but you're just kind of, it's just working somehow.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Met season shape is crazy. That's why everybody's giving cheekbone, because we're just killing it out here. I have to pat myself on the back for one thing, and that's going to be my capography.
Oh, that was good.
So I have been working on this.
Wait, I did notice
so
that.
Long. Oh, come in. Who's that?
Yay,
hi.
Amanda.
Come on in, Amanda. Hey, I'm sorry, we're recording
a podcast.
No,
come on, be a part of it.
We're almost done. We're
Giselle.
Almost done.
Okay.
This is Amanda McCarroll.
Oh, wait, come say
the
hi.
The icon legend.
Yes.
You don't have to also, but I would love it if you
did.
Yeah,
hello. Because also she worked on this with us, this ballet.
She coached us so beautifully and was
so nice.
Invaluable.
About
a total pleasure being with you guys on that ballet, but always being with you guys. I'm so sorry to interrupt.
No, we'll be done in like 5 minutes. I'm sorry. I'll let you know. Thank you. I'm sorry to be inhabiting the space. You can leave whatever you want, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, just come hang. It's fine.
So
you were patting yourself on the back.
Oh yes. So Kevin McKenzie, the former director who taught me this ballet, the ABT version, and coached me a lot, wanted me to essentially work the cape in this way. So he would be like, okay, if you run at a certain angle and then you curve around and let go of one side of the cape will sort of like wrap around your feet in this very like cinematic Conti way, pardon my French.
Yeah.
And I have like, when I've been trying for over 10 years in this production to work it. And I like practice in the rear wagon. Like the rear wagon is behind the stage. It's where you can like rotate a new set into the stage.
Rear wagon.
But yeah, I'm always like running around on the wood floor being like, damn, it didn't work. And it finally worked on stage. And I was literally like,
you were feeling it too. I even saw it. Like I was standing on the side and you went zoom and the whole thing went whoop, 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 whoop. And then it just kind of draped off your shoulder. And the way you took a step forward, I was like, ooh, bitch, you go good.
I felt really good.
I went, oh, bitch.
Oh, bitch. It was very exciting for something that I've been working on for 10 years to actually work.
I know. Well, and also, as you all know now, we don't get this cape until like 5 minutes before the show. So
that's
well
why
done you.
Mirta's out there doing her soda bosks and I'm running around in the rear wagon trying to make this cape work. And the lilies are 45 feet long.
Yeah.
Okay. Cassie, I want to say I have loved every moment of dancing with you over the past, what is it now?
10, 15. Well, you joined
13 years
around
for me.
The same time, right?
Yes.
12,
you were 13? 12.
Yeah.
And
11.
You were 11.
Yeah.
And I just can't tell you how much I'm gonna miss you. My friend, but also my amazing partner on stage and in many creative endeavors over the years. So everybody, make sure to follow Cassie at Cassandra Trinari on Instagram. And her amazing, amazing, beautiful photography at Pearl Takes Pics.
Thank Thanks, James.
I love you so much.
I love you, babe. Thank you for having me.
And we're dancing together this week, too, so you can't get rid of us.
That's right. Meow.
Make sure to follow me at James B. Whiteside on Instagram and TikTok. That's James B. Whiteside. And don't forget to click the link in my bio to purchase tickets for upcoming performances or to buy my book, Center Center, a funny, sexy, sad, almost memoir of a boy in ballet. Enjoy!
Life's better with American Family Insurance because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do-it-yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.